Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid, all across that Spiz Grizz network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One of the remaining two NFL head coaching vacancies was filled yesterday. It's a new era in Seattle. Pete Carroll obviously was let go earlier this offseason. Mike McDonald is now the new head coach in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle goes from the oldest head coach, Pete Carroll, who was 72 a season ago, to the youngest head coach now in the NFL. McDonald is only 36 years old. He spent the past two seasons, Donnie, orchestrating one of the best defenses in the National Football League with the Baltimore Ravens. Now he gets his first shot as a head coach in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks. What grade would you give the hire in the Pacific Northwest?
I'll probably give it like a C, B at this point. And that's not the fact to say I don't like Michael McDonald as a head coach. I think he's going to be a quality coach. But you fired Pete Carroll. I thought you had maybe one of those, you know, big fish on the line. You're like, you know what? We're going to move on from Pete, who served us certainly well. He has a lot of energy, wins football games, can get us to the playoffs. And then I thought, like, okay, you might get a Belichick in there. You might get a Vrabel. Heck, you might even sway Jim Harbaugh to go up there and say, you know what? Forget about the other NFC team that used to coach their NFC West team and the 49ers. You want to give a go here and have some fun? Come on up to Seattle. And you end up with McDonald, which, again, isn't bad. And if I want to preface this by talking about, like, my Philadelphia fandom, right? Because just because you don't get a big splash hire doesn't mean it can't work out. Like when the Eagles fired Andy Reid, it had to be done at that point. Andy Reid was never going to be successful enough to win the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. He had to learn new ways and go about things, and he learned in Kansas City, and he's one of the best coaches of all time. But the Eagles moved on to Chip Kelly, who I couldn't have been more excited to have as a Philadelphia Eagles head coach. Now, granted, he did win games, but he alienated the entire fan base and front office and his owner, which ended up getting him fired, which led to Doug Peterson. I said, what the heck? Doug Peterson, I mean, what is this guy, like 25th in line in the NFL to get a head coaching job? We wound up with him, wins a Super Bowl. Hey, Nick Sirianni's going to be the coach? Never even heard of this guy. The guy's been pretty successful over the past 3 years, including to making it to a Super Bowl. So the reason I bring up those two names is we're not saying that Mike McDonald can't be successful in Seattle, but even if it was like a Vrabel or a Belichick, the fan base might be like, you know what? I think we're on the right path here. You're hoping for a great return with McDonald, whereas maybe you might have had more of a sure thing in the other ways as we wrap it around. I think he's a quality coach. I don't mind the hire, but am I in love with it? Like they hit a home run? Not necessarily here, Ben.
Where are they? They've been waiting, and here they are. The Sports Grid Radio audience joins us here into hour number two, Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. TRS, I have to disagree. I actually think Mike McDonald is that big fish. I think this is a home run hire for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, he doesn't have the pedigree of a Mike Vrabel, certainly not the pedigree of one of the greatest of all time in Bill Belichick, but outside of Ben Johnson, I think there were two clear frontrunners for coaches who were coordinators to become a head coach and to get that shot in this coaching carousel. Ben Johnson, again, from Detroit, and Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator in Baltimore. When you look at what the Ravens have done in the 2 years under McDonald, they have been the second best scoring defense over the past two seasons and virtually ranked in the top 10 everywhere else. This year, best scoring defense in the NFL. The only team to allow less than 17 points per game throughout the regular season. Sixth best total defense. They got after the quarterback the most this year and tied for the most takeaways in all of the NFL. If you are looking at each and every level of how you want to defend the football, Mike McDonald has done that for the flock. I think it was an excellent hire for the Seattle Seahawks, and I think they are moving their organization forward because Pete Carroll has the energy. Pete Carroll has the pedigree. Pete Carroll did more for that Seattle organization than any head coach prior. But it was about making that change. Clearly, that's why they let Pete Carroll go, which was somewhat of a surprise for everybody around the NFL, and they wanted to bring in a guy on the cutting edge defensively. They get that with Mike McDonald. I think it's a great hire for the Seattle Seahawks.
By the way, also, I was doing some, I think he actually signed with a 6-year contract, I want to say, in Seattle, which tells you again that they weren't going to let him leave the building, because typically you're going to get that 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 years is a really extension where it's like, hey, you know what? We'll give you 6 years if you want 2 Super Bowls here, basically a lifetime contract as you would get. So I know they were trying to have the sweeten that pot a little bit. That's why I said it's a BC hire for me. It's not when I look at it again. Dave Canales might be a good coach. If I'm looking at Carolina as a fan base, I'm like, we're in the dark days here. I don't even know if this is going to work out. Callahan goes to Tennessee. It's like, what are we actually doing here at this point? And again, it's not to say that it can't work out, but revitalizing the fan base says, we got our guy here to bring in the building. I don't mind the hire. Yeah. He's a great defensive coordinator. You need defense in Seattle as always. But even for me, I'm always slightly looking forward to that next up-and-coming hot coordinator. And again, Johnson didn't leave Detroit. That would have been an awesome fit in Seattle. Sam would have been a great fit in Washington, but he wanted to stay in Detroit, make some sense here, take another year, ramp up, maybe make a Super Bowl run, and then off you go to your next head coaching job at this point. McDonald will do well, I believe, out there in Seattle, but he's going to have some defense, which is great too, because now the chess match starts to begin. McVay's out there. Yeah. You know, you also have San Francisco and Brock Purdy and, you know, how they like to dial it up with Kyle Shanahan. It's a pretty good chess match going on there. We'll see what happens with them in Seattle.
You know what I find very interesting as well? When the end of the regular season happened in the National Football League, and we saw sweeping head coaching changes in the 4 to 5 days after, it was rather shocking. Pete Carroll dismissed. Mike Vrabel let go by Tennessee. We expected Bill Belichick to end his 24-year tenure in New England, and it still happened. We thought, oh my goodness, look at this coaching carousel we are going to see. So to end up with guys like Brian Callahan, that was a hotter commodity 2 years ago than he is now in Tennessee, or the up-and-coming Dave Canales, who only spent 1 year as a coordinator in the NFL, very interesting when you had guys like Vrabel and Belichick out there, but I believe Mike McDonald does carry that pedigree in terms of at least a hot commodity and a name in this coaching cycle. Now, we've seen movement for these teams based on keeping coaches on staff, like the Lions, $5 shy on that price. No movement for Seattle in their Super Bowl 59 odds, 75-1 prior, 75-1 now. But there are those scheduling quirks, Donnie, in the NFL where one division plays another division on the opposite side of the league and plays all four of those teams. The Ravens this year against the NFC West, a perfect 4-0, including a game midway through the season at home in the Charm City against the Seattle Seahawks, where Baltimore won 37-3, covered as a 6-point home favorite, shut down Seattle only 3 points, and they must have been there in that Seahawks organization saying, yeah, that's our guy.
Yeah, no, and then definitely that always happens, and you see coaches get jobs because of the lasting impact that you leave on the other ownership. Like, boy, I would like to have a defense that kicks butt like that, and now you got one up in Seattle, something sorely needed, because that Legion of Boom defense, that's long gone. Time to build a new tradition up there.
10 days away from Super Bowl 58. We continue the preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. 10 days away from Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas between the Chiefs and the 49ers. I am Ben. Donnie is on the right side. Of course, the man in the middle is Craig Mish. An earlier appearance on this Thursday on TEL. He hosts Newswire at 11 a.m. Eastern time each and every day, live right here on Sports Grid as well. Craig, you were here on Monday. Looking back on the weekend that was, looking back on conference championship weekend, we got your thoughts on how the AFC and the NFC title game have played out. You've been with us here throughout this NFL season, throughout this playoff push as well. We have yet to get your true thoughts on Super Bowl 58. We do that today on this Thursday on the Early Line. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course. And wondering from your guys' perspective, I was talking about this on my show on Newswire yesterday. Do you guys have a preference? Remember when they went back and they changed the Super Bowl and they had it the following Sunday after the AFC and NFC championship? I think they did that for like 2 years. I kind of wish the game was Sunday, you know? I understand that they have to have it 2 weeks out and there's this buildup, but man, I would really love it to be played this Sunday, to be honest with you.
We need the buildup.
Donnie, what do you think?
That's absolutely what we need here. Now, it would be nice to play it a week later. When was the last time they actually did that? Was that like the because I want to say with the Eagles.
It was probably 6-7 years ago. Yeah, it's probably a while ago. Yeah.
I remember about 20 years ago because the Philadelphia Eagles, when they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like the Buccaneers packed their bags and left Philadelphia after beating the Eagles and went right out to San Diego. So it's been a while for that. I don't mind the buildup, though. I think I like it a little bit there.
Okay. All right.
Oh. That's happened 7 times, in fact. The last time, January 20, no, this is incorrect. This is an article from 2016. That's why I need my stat guy, Joe Friso, down there doing the research instead of me on the fly. Anyway, we will keep it rolling to this year's Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl 58. Craig, you have shared your handicapping thoughts with us throughout this NFL season. We have seen little bits of market movement since the line opened up for Super Bowl 58 to where it stands right now. The Chiefs and the 49ers, with San Francisco a 1.5 favorite, the over-under 47.5. You talk about the buildup. We still have 10 days away, about 1.5 weeks until Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas. Craig, when do you get in your Super Bowl bets?
Yeah, I think, look, for me, it's mostly prop stuff. You know, I do think because there are hundreds of props on this game, that there are edges to be had going in. I just simply don't think, Ben, they're the same edges that we saw potentially maybe, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. And the reason why I'm kind of thin now usually on these Super Bowls is since sports betting has been legalized and since DraftKings and FanDuel have had props basically every week, I just think that the odds makers and the bookmakers are just so sharp now with these props. You know, once upon a time, the only props that we really used to look at were the Super Bowl, and there were like hundreds and hundreds. Yeah. And at the Westgate, they'd come out Sunday night, and people would line up to get the very best odds in Las Vegas. It's no longer the case anymore. So, you know, I think at that time, it's not that the books allowed you to win bets. I'm not saying that. But what I used to say on my radio shows and TV shows before sports betting was legalized were the Super Bowl props were like Pringles. And you know why I would say that, obviously, because you can't bet just one, right? Nobody could walk into that sports book and say, give me Shane Vereen over 3.5 receptions, have a great night. No, nobody could do it. There was like this prop and that prop. And I think they knew that at that time. So they made them very enticing. I just don't think the advantages are there like they have been in the past. But make no mistake about it, the two things that we talked about earlier in the week, the first half over and the game over. I do feel like the referees have called a lighter game in the playoffs in general, outside of calling all those personal fouls against the Baltimore Ravens, which obviously were right there. I mean, they were happening right in front. What were they not supposed to do, not call those? But beyond that, no holding, no PIs. So I do think there's going to be a lot of scoring in the game. And Ben, as you alluded to earlier in the week too, I'm not usually an over guy. I usually feel like there's a lot more value on unders.
Let them play, Craig, as we like to say here. Let the players decide it on the field. Let me ask you this question, because Ben and I were going back and forth on a previous segment. If we take a look at the line right now at FanDuel, it's -1.5 as a favorite towards San Francisco, and the total at 47.5. If I had to ask you which one of those lines is going to move first, the 1.5 or the 47.5 at FanDuel, what would be your decision on that?
Yeah, I do think that probably by the time that the game kicks off, it'll be down to one. That would be my guess, is that San Francisco will be 1-point favorite. I think the general better, you know, the novice better, the way that the money is going to come in just in general on this books is the same way it comes in on Notre Dame. It's the same way it has come in on Alabama through the years. It's the same way it comes in through the Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot of people who are going to bet on the Super Bowl who have never bet before. There are a lot of people who are going to watch the Super Bowl that generally don't, but they know who Patrick Mahomes is, and they know who Travis Kelce is, and therefore it's just it easier to root for in that space. So I do think that comes down, Donnie, to one. But, you know, I got to tell you, I thought that line was going to go the other way toward the Chiefs last week, and it did not. So call me crazy. Maybe I'll be wrong on this one, too. Total seems really solid for where it is, 47.5. I don't see that moving all that much. Yeah.
The under a bit of juice right now as it pertains to that 47.5 number. So, Craig, you talk about props. You can't just have one, Pringles, goldfish, whatever you want to quantify it as.
Goldfish.
We look at the props that are already available, still 10 days away from a football game. If numbers are going to move, probably more so than the spread or the money line or the total in any drastic way, it will be in the prop market. So let's look early. 262.5, the passing yards prop for Patrick Mahomes. On the other side for Brock Purdy, 245 and a hook. What do you want to see out of the quarterback comparison come Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas?
We would love to see, I think, two big playmakers get involved in the offense, which could lead to that potential over. The first would be Deebo Samuel, because I think that if he's heavily involved in the game plan for the 49ers, that pushes the point total, which it did. You know, remember, you look at the 49ers' weapons outside of Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle was not a huge part of that game plan until the second half, and they still ended up going over that total and flying over the team total as well. So to me, having Deebo Samuel on the one side, and then on the other side is Rashee Rice. He's really the only dynamic playmaker outside of Kelce over the middle of the field. I have to believe the 49ers are going to do a better job against Kelce than the Baltimore Ravens did. I mean, I understand that Kelce's a Hall of Famer. He's going to get open, like, no matter what. He's like old Antonio Gates, basically, like wherever the guy would move. Like Philip Rivers would be like, he only throws to Gates. Why can they not cover Gates? It's like, I couldn't understand it. It's like the same thing. I don't think he's going to get 12 catches or 11 catches in this game, too. So Rice and Deebo would lead me to believe that which one of those explodes on offense, more explosive plays, they go over their yardage prop market, I would guess, on Sunday, next Sunday.
Let's take a look here at the, and by the way, MVP markets here. Shout out the MVP, which would be Goldfish Parmesan flavor. That's the snack that you need on Super Bowl Sunday. Craig, who is your MVP in the football game and your MVP snack on Super Bowl Sunday?
It's just no fun to go with the quarterbacks. It's no fun at all. So, you know, I'll probably take a shot at Deebo there. I mean, you know, he can run, he can catch, maybe breaks off a long one. That would be a guess for me, but it's probably not the right choice. The right choice is usually the quarterback. And look, for the snacks, I'm like a traditionalist. Come just on. Give me that nice big meal, you know, chicken parm, nice Italian dinner there with some nice dessert. You know, pack it in early, eat throughout the game.
On Super Bowl Sunday?
We need more. We need Craig to stick around. He's got to stick around. Explain yourself, Craig.
Oh yeah. What do you explain myself? What are you gonna? You eat Mr. Good bars? Come on, Donnie. I don't have to explain myself.
Tremendous.
Get out of here.
Am I supposed to take this to break after he said he eats chicken parm on Super Bowl Sunday? Absolutely. Or the early line next.
Forget about it. It's Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. We're going to get to previews of Super Bowl 58. We'll give you some prop picks with the markets now all opened up as well. But let's not bury the lead any longer here on TEL. What seemed like an innocent question from Donnie Wrightside to our Craig Mish, the host of Newswire, about his favorite Super Bowl snack. I was expecting pizza, wings, nachos, chips. Craig Mish replies with chicken parmesan and a side of pasta, a full plate. Now, as we welcome on our next guest, Joe Ranieri, we have to ask him the same question. JR, you will be in New Jersey on Super Bowl Sunday, and yet I still do not predict chicken parmesan in your future. What is Joe Ranieri's favorite Super Bowl snack to enjoy the big game?
That's easy, guys. It's bourbon. I don't mind the I really don't mind the sauce. I mean bourbon's food too, guys. I don't mind the sauce on a Sunday, but my goodness, you want to be able to stay awake for the game. You can't be filling up on all that carbs and you're out by the head. You miss the game. So no, strictly liquid diet on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's the way of doing it. Joe, thank you for restoring some sanity here to the early line on this Thursday. So, Joe, we have you for the next two segments, and we appreciate your time as always. I look forward to getting your thoughts. Here we are still 10 days out from Super Bowl Sunday. When to dive in, what you expect the market to look like. Have you noticed any movement that has caught your eye at this point? Where the numbers stand right now, a point and a half in favor of the 49ers, minus 130 on the money line, plus 110 other side for Kansas City. The over-under has stayed pretty steady to this point at 47.5. So those are the numbers for Super Bowl 58. What do the numbers tell you?
Well, it would not shock me if this thing, as we get closer to kickoff, is a true pick'em, and that it hits pick'em at some particular point. I don't think we're going to get a big movement with the total one way or the other. I don't see this thing climbing up closer to 48, 48 and a half, 49, anything along those lines. I think the total, a half a point here or there, is about it. I would even almost say that I'm expecting it to shade a little bit towards the under. But I do think that this eventually will go off as a true pick'em here with an awful lot of money on the sidelines. I mean, the 2.5 lasted 30 seconds maybe when it first opened up, and then it kept going towards Kansas City's way. I think it will continue to do that. So I think what you see right now is pretty much what you're going to get. Not to mention, it really doesn't matter anyway. Pick the winner, play the money line, and you are good to go.
You take a look at the betting public here, Joe, right? Because, again, the Super Bowl, everybody focuses on, like, just the person that's a common gambler to the hardcore gambler and also to the sharps and whatever. But if I'm lining this football game up, is it just so simple to realize next week, once Super Bowl week gets here, late in the week, people will open up their laptops and go, okay, it's time to bet the Super Bowl, and say, oh, wait a second. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are getting points. I don't care. I'm just taking the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, but you know it's coming, and it happened pretty quickly as well. And listen, there's one thing that I know for sure is that I do not anticipate, if the Niners get a whole lot of steam between now and then, it's not going to be public money. The overwhelming public is not going to be backing the 49ers in here. It's going to be the bigger money bets. It's going to be the sharper groups that are going to wait as long as they can, let the public hammer Kansas City, keep betting Kansas City, and then they will come in. I'm expecting a whole lot of movement, probably late, and that movement will come towards the Niners. The public is not going to back the 49ers in this one.
As we shared earlier, the line opened very quickly at 2.5 on Sunday night following that NFC title game, and there is 77% of the money right now in terms of the spread betting on Kansas City. 70% of the bets for that spread that is currently 1.5 also with the Chiefs. A lot of that public money has quickly moved that number down to 1.5. I'm not so sure there will be a ton of public investment to continue to move the market to Kansas City's way, but we wait and see. That's the spread, the money line. Now, from a side perspective to the totals for Super Bowl Sunday, 47.5. It is the lowest over-under we have seen in a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 50. The last 8 years, every number has been at least 49.5. Six of the previous seven, at least at 50. So, Joe, when you look at that total, remain steady, 47.5. I ask you a simple two-part question. If the game goes over, who does that benefit? If the game stays under, who does that work well for?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I'm not necessarily sold it correlates one way or the other, just simply because we're dealing with a pick'em game. And I don't foresee either of these two teams wanting some sort of shootout because neither are kind of set up to do well in those kinds of games, I think, especially this is not the Kansas City Chiefs of old, and you've got to give them credit for what Andy Reid realized right around December when everyone was sticking a fork in the Chiefs because they looked like a shell of their former self. But something interesting happened with the Chiefs right around Christmas time when they decided that, you know what, we can't act and pretend like Tyreek Hill's here. We can't act and pretend like we can throw the ball 40 times in this game. We've got to be more balanced. We've got to be able to run much better than what we've been doing, stop turning the ball over. And the reason they're here right now is because Andy Reid did all of those things. Listen, nobody hates running the ball more than Andy Reid. If he can go up 35-0 on you in the second quarter, he's going to do it. He's going to throw the ball. He's going to do what he can do. But this goes against everything we have seen this Kansas City Chiefs represent over the last couple of seasons, including back in 2019 when they met these 49ers. Instead, they've become much more dink and dunk and hold on to the ball for 32 minutes in a game, run twice as many plays, and they'll beat you 24-17 all day long, no problem.
You take a look at that total, too, and how it factors into it. Two of the best play callers in the NFL get 2 weeks to script plays getting ready for this game. We're not worried about rain. We're not worried about wind, cold conditions. It's in a dome. And the one MO we've seen out of the Kansas City Chiefs here, Joe, is, hey, we'll get some points in the first half. But number one, we won't score in the next second half. And we also don't let you score in the second half. So if you're trying to, from a bettor's perspective here, do you look at the total and say, you know what, I might have an advantage in either one of these halves?
Yeah, well, if history serves us here, recent history with the Chiefs, you want to back them early, don't you? As a matter of fact, we talked about it here last week on the show, and I said, listen, expect the points in the first half from Kansas City and Baltimore, and then expect no points in the second half because of what the Kansas City Chiefs defense has been able to accomplish, averaging and giving up, what, only 7 points in the second half all season long. They did it again against Baltimore, you know, a team that was supposed to run all over them and didn't end up doing it. So I think early with those two guys, Shanahan and Andy Reid, I would say yes. I think points are coming early again. I think adjustments will be made. And then it's going to be which team can hold on. I don't anticipate the Chiefs defense doing what Detroit did in the second half against them, where they just could not stop them and the momentum could never get back towards Detroit. Don't see that happening in this one.
20 games played for KC this year. 18 of the second half totals have stayed under. 19 of the fourth quarter totals have stayed under. KC, the best scoring defense throughout the NFL in the second half this season, only just a tick above 7 points per game. Total touchdowns scored in Super Bowl 58. The number right now, 4.5. The under has the juice at minus 140. That would make sense. 4 times 7, 28 points as you add up some field goals as well. So, Joe, when you look at these specific props that are only available for Super Bowl Sundays for the most part, where do you start your handicaps?
So I think you have to first figure out how each team is going to win. What's the best plan for each team to go about doing it? And then, like I just said, I think the Chiefs is rather simple. And I think they have shown what their game plan is going to be. And that is going to be hold on to the ball, dink and dunk, move the chains, and hold on to it. I mean, 40 drives, seven or more plays a drive. It doesn't matter the points. It just matters a matter of them being able to stay out on the field longer than the other offense. And how do they do that? Well, they run the ball, guys. So, and I'm sure we'll eventually get to it, but that's why Pacheco's got to be in a lot of your props and a lot of what you're looking at if you like Kansas City, because they are not going to go three and out. That is not what they are going to do. Mahomes is very dangerous when pressured. He knows that. Don't turn the ball over. They have not, if you've noticed over the last month here. They are all about sustaining drives, time of possession, and converting in the red zone when they have to. And if they continue to do that, they'll be more than happy to score 24 points in this game and not give you enough time to get to that number. That's the recipe for success for Kansas City. And if you are Shanahan, you want the opposite. You want the ball as much as you possibly can. You want to also keep Mahomes on the sideline. Question is, which team is built to do that the best? That's your winner.
The Chiefs. Yep. The Chiefs have allowed 20 points or less in 9 of their last 10 games. We'll get to the individual prop perspective that will shape the outcome of Super Bowl Sunday next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The individuals that will impact the outcome of Super Bowl 58, 10 days away in Las Vegas. Joe Ranieri is having a great time here on this Thursday morning on the Early Line. You might see Joe next week on the Early Line as well, but we'll save that for a later date. I am Ben. Donnie is on the right side, and Joe is here for a second consecutive segment. So now it's the prop perspective. And Joe, a lot of people look at Super Bowl Sunday, and they see all the props. The coin toss, the Gatorade color for that bath at the end of the game. Longest touchdown scored. Shortest touchdown scored. Will the opening kickoff be a touchback? There are so many different things to bet come Super Bowl Sunday. You often forget how you bet throughout a regular season and even throughout the playoffs, focusing on the actual players that will impact the game outcome. We do that here on this Thursday on the Early Line. And, of course, we start with the quarterback comparison. Patrick Mahomes has the higher of the two passing props available right now at 262.5, just about 17 yards in front of Brock Purdy, 245 and a hook for Brock. Joe, what do you want to see out of the quarterback play Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas? Purdy on one side for San Francisco. Mahomes, a two-time Super Bowl champion, on the other.
Yeah, I mean, listen, experience, and this is the big problem with this. It was a problem last week, right? How do we quantify experience? How do we quantify guys that have been there and done this? And how do we quantify a guy like Patrick Mahomes, much like we had a problem doing it with Tom Brady and company for all those years? They get to this particular spot. They know how to win these games late. And, you know, listen, Brock Purdy wasn't there in 2019, right? He was still at Iowa State. Shanahan has been there. He's never been able to get over the hump in any way, shape, or form when he's been in the Super Bowl on a staff. So this is interesting. The quantifying of the experience factor in the fourth quarter when the game is on the line. And listen, the market is telling you, right? This is a pick 'em game, guys. So which quarterback do you trust late to get it done? And Brock Purdy, by the way, literally has won the last couple of games for his team when nobody thought he could do it. He did it with his legs. He did it with his arm. I mean, huge comeback. All the odds against him. I'm not running to the window to bet against Purdy. But I would find it hard to believe that if given the opportunity, game on the line, kind of hard not to be looking to back Patrick Mahomes at least live at some point in this game if they are within one score and trailing.
Let's take a look at Travis Kelce props in the Super Bowl. He has been wonderful here in the playoffs, to say the least. But this is a guy that in the regular season, midway through October, scored a touchdown and didn't score another one throughout the regular season. Heading down the stretch, Joe, his final three games, 5 catches for 28 yards, 5 catches for 44 yards, 3 catches for 16 yards. Then the playoffs hit. 7 catches for 71 against Miami. Then he has 5 for 75 and 2 scores against the Buffalo Bills. Against Baltimore, 11 catches on 11 targets, 116 yards, and 1 touchdown catch there. So if we try to take a look at the props market here for the Super Bowl, he's listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 70.5 receiving yards. Big-time player in a big-time game. Could he get your money, and do you think he's going over that 70.5 receptions prop here?
Well, you said it there, Donnie. Great players show up at the biggest moments and perform. It's exactly what Kelce and Mahomes have been doing here, right? People are still trying to scratch their heads on figuring out how he ended up dominating the Baltimore Ravens defense the way he did. They had absolutely no answer for stopping Kelce there. And he averaged about 65, 66, I believe, receiving yards during the regular season. So expecting him on the biggest stage to get 5 more, you almost feel like it has to be on your card because you don't want to happen what happened last week where you're like, no, he's lost a step and Taylor Swift's there. And all, yeah. Don't bet against the guys that have shown you on the biggest. Nobody cares what he did in week 6. Nobody cares what he did in week 9. What matters on the biggest stage at the biggest moments is, can you rely on Travis Kelce? And the answer is absolutely yes. He's got to be on the card somewhere here, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. Travis Kelce in the previous 3 Super Bowl trips for Kansas City has caught a touchdown in 2 of the 3, including both of the victories. He did have 133 yards, 10 grabs, 15 targets back in Super Bowl 55 when they came up well short against Tampa Bay. But in the 2 Super Bowl wins for Kansas City, a touchdown for Travis Kelce. On the other side, the lead playmaker offensively for San Francisco is Christian McCaffrey. Not fully healthy. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt week 17 against the Commanders. That's when the calf injury first flared up for CMC. But outside of that, including both games in the postseason, dating back to October 23rd, Christian McCaffrey has had at least 100 scrimmage yards in every single game. And you see what the odds expect out of McCaffrey on Super Bowl Sunday. His first Super Bowl appearance as an individual as well. 90.5 on the ground, 34.5 through the air. Joe, how good does Christian McCaffrey have to be against KC's vaunted defense for San Francisco to end up with a Lombardi trophy?
He's got to be great. I mean, both sides and both teams have to have guys that they can rely on. And I mean, give the guy's a warrior, man. I would not bet against him. Neck, leg issues, it doesn't make a difference. He is going to be out there. Couple of weeks to heal up here. I am expecting full on 100% everything he's got, leaving out on the field, McCaffrey. And that goes across the board. I think not just rushing the ball. I wouldn't at all dismiss the idea that a lot of safe throws for a guy like Brock Purdy, who lacks the experience in this game, maybe a whole lot of screen passes to McCaffrey, some easy tosses out there instead of trying to make the mistake down the field. He checks it down to McCaffrey a lot. So I think there's a lot of different ways that you got to look at McCaffrey in this game. The bottom line is he will not be a decoy of any way, shape, or form in this one. He is going to be the guy that takes this 49ers offense over the top, when, especially inside the red zone.
So many times we take a look at this football game, right, and we're trying to factor on what are we going to get out of Brock Purdy, what are we going to get out of, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. But the two running backs in this game might be the true 2 superstars and the pathway to victory, because we know how good CMC is, of course. But Isaiah Pacheco has been an absolute workhorse for Kansas City this entire season. He's actually scored touchdowns in 6 of his past 7 games, which includes all 3 playoff games, at least finding pay dirt once. 24 carries against Baltimore, 24 carries against the Miami Dolphins, approaching Isaiah Pacheco props, Joe. How do you look at this?
Yeah, he is the key to this offense, and he has been since December. The minute that Andy Reid realized, all right, we can't keep doing this here, guys. We can't keep going scoreless into second half. We can't keep pretending like Tyreek Hill is here and we're going to be this high-flying offense of the past. We've got to stay on the field. We've got to not turn the ball over, and they have done an amazing job of that over the last month here, guys. No interceptions. They're not fumbling the ball. And a lot of that is because, you know what they're doing? They're getting 3-4 yards on first down with Pacheco. They're getting third and short, and they're moving the chains. And a big reason to that is because of balance. It's not all Mahomes. It's not him chucking it to Kelce. Everything is set up now with this team, with Pacheco and the running game. They have run more over the last month than they have over the last 3 years together here. Yeah. And it shows. And they're going to win a lot of games continuing with this style by scoring 23, 24, 27 points. There won't be 35-point Kansas City games anymore because that's not who they are. They don't have the same horses, but what they do have is they've got a running back here that they can rely upon, and it's going to be up to that defensive front, who, by the way, hasn't done a great job for the 49ers last couple of games here. If they let Pacheco dominate that line of scrimmage, it's going to be a long day for the 49ers.
67.5, the rushing yards prop, as you saw for Pacheco. 89.5, the combo prop, rushing plus receiving. Joe is very spot on. Phil Simms was on the show earlier this week, Joe, and made that point as well. As he has been watching film, he was getting ready for the AFC Championship game on Sunday in Baltimore. He noticed the Chiefs earlier in the year, still trying to be that explosive offense of the previous five seasons under Mahomes. But they just don't have the talent on the outside to expand the field as they had in years past. And that's when they were stumbling for the most part and coming up short. Then they realized, hey, our defense leads the way. We can be really good on the ground. We can beat you with the talent we have in those 24 or 21 ball games, and that's what they have done. Isaiah Pacheco, 89.5, again, that combo prop. Outside of the weird game on Christmas against the Raiders, he has had at least 88 yards from the line of scrimmage in five straight games for Kansas City, at least 76 scrimmage yards in every playoff game. All six now he has played as a member of the Chiefs in the last two seasons. It's a great look, and it might be where the offense is actually incorporated for Kansas City. Joe, as we look at the Super Bowl MVP odds then, might it make sense to bet Isaiah Pacheco at 35-1? You see Christian McCaffrey, the only other guy outside of the quarterbacks that has a 5-1 number, actually anything shorter than 17-1, that's where we find Travis Kelce with the fourth best price. Joe, when you look at the Super Bowl 58 MVP odds right now, what is your best bet?
Kind of hard not to look at, again, correlate it here, guys. I do think that Mahomes is obviously a favorite for a reason, although I do think for Mahomes to be successful, Pacheco's got to be successful. So that's a interesting number there at 35-1. And if I'm is Purdy going to get enough love regardless here if they win? I mean, outside of and I don't think he's going to have some sort of 350-yard passing day here and just light up this Chiefs defense. But I think it's correlated with him and McCaffrey, too. If McCaffrey has a big day, he's going to make Purdy look real good. If Pacheco has a really good day, he's going to make Mahomes look good. It's still a quarterback award unless something crazy happens in this game. So depending on who you think wins, that quarterback is in all likelihood your MVP. And what a story would be for Purdy, by the way, to stick it to everybody, Mr. Irrelevant, to actually win the Super Bowl and win the MVP. It's a hell of a storyline for the NFL, that's for sure.
By the way, let me ask you this question, too. Records, we always like them to fall. Three bets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Do any one of these come in for you? 205-plus rushing yards in a game, 37-1. 506 passing yards, 280-1. And 216 receiving yards or more, 30-1. Do we get any record breakers here?
I don't think so. I think it's dink and dunk down the field on both sides. Yeah. I think both teams are going to try the defenses to get off the field. They're going to try to keep the offenses on the sideline. I don't think that happens if you get those kinds of offensive numbers and then the total comes into play. I'm not convinced the over is the way to look here. I think the defense is maybe the best unit out there on the Kansas City Chiefs side. So going to be interesting.
Joe Ranieri, we appreciate the time greatly here on this Thursday on the early line. We will talk very, very soon. The handicaps from that early perspective for Super Bowl 58. Joe, as always, thank you. We round out this second hour of that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out this second hour of the Early Line Live right here on a Thursday on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. And this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan that QR code on your screen in a matter of moments. All of our information and insight available in the palm of your hand. It has been a hot button topic really all year long in the NBA. That's the case anytime a new rule is instituted. But it's the 65-game minimum that an NBA player must play to be in consideration for an NBA award, like that NBA MVP or all-pro teams that come with significant contract incentives around the association. But it's come to a head this week with the injury to Joel Embiid and Tyrese Halliburton returning to the lineup for Indiana. So we wanted to hear from the people out there. Should the NBA change the 65-game minimum? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, should the NBA get rid of its 65-game minimum for awards? Simple choices for you, yes or no. And it is heavily skewed to the no. About 75% of the public say no. The minimum is there for a reason. Our guy Ryan Niemi even responding, I feel like if you want to win, quote, employee of the year, going to work 79% of the time is reasonable. Donnie, what do you say to the public?
Yeah, they have to keep this, and I like it. But also, you see how the wording is structured. Should the NBA get rid of its 60-game, 5-game minimum for awards? No, they shouldn't. But pay scales, Ben, obviously, I don't think should be attached to this whatsoever. So you're coming up in your contract year, and you play 50 games, you look fantastic, you blow out your Achilles or you hurt your knee and you can't get that. Well, you can't get the top pay scale because you got injured. That's really not fair at that point. But for awards, Ben, absolutely, that 65-game minimum should be in there.
We will discuss further when Hour 3 starts in less than a minute, live right here on the Early Line.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.